Hello and welcome to this Canadian Opera Company podcast sponsored by DECA, the opera label. My name is Gianmarco Segato, and today with me is my colleague and co-host, Jenna Wichlow.
Hello, Gianmarco.
Hello. Today we're here to explore John Adams' opera, Nixon in China, which will appear as part of the Canadian Opera Company's winter season, with 8 performances running from February 5th to the 26th, 2011, at the Four Seasons Centre for the Performing Arts in Toronto. For tickets to the opera and for more information, you can check our website, coc.ca, which we're going to chat about just a little bit now.
Yes, just to remind listeners that all the additional materials that you might want to discover for the opera are online at coc.ca. This last fall, we launched a new opera blog called Parlando, and this has proven to be very popular and really a wonderful jumping-off point, a great source of up-to-date information on what's happening at the COC, and a wonderful place to give us feedback as well. Mm-hmm. You can go on there and comment and just let us know what you're thinking. You'll find behind-the-scenes photographs of upcoming productions, interviews with cast and creative team members, and a continuing series of posts from our associate technical director, Barney Bayliss. He's giving us a real behind-the-scenes look at what it takes to build the sets you see at the FSC.
Yeah, there was some interesting, when we were doing Aida and Death in Venice, there was some really interesting posts about what it takes to transfer from one opera to the other and how much work that is. And isn't that something we often think about, you know, when we think about the opera?
And our big party, Opera Nation.
Oh,
he was
right,
showing the taking in and out of that. There's also blog posts from the ongoing school tours written by COC ensemble members. And on the website itself, for each opera, there's historical background, composer biographies, listening guides with musical excerpts, all the cast and creative team lists, and related reading. In the weeks to come, there'll be a Nixon in China quiz, and also Nixon in China and Magic Flute podcasts with interviews with cast members. Magic Flute is the other show that we'll be running at the same time as Nixon in China. You can also read Alexander Neve's blog, and we're on Twitter and Facebook.
Yes, and we'd really like to encourage listeners to give us their thoughts on these podcasts, and they can do that probably most easily on Facebook, because we usually post an update saying that a certain podcast is up, and that's a place you could go to let us know what you're thinking and ask questions, and we'd be happy to answer them.
Also, if you have suggestions for podcasts, that
yes,
would be good.
That would be good. And something that you're quite involved with, Jana, is our ongoing COC book club. And what is the book that we'll be featuring in January?
Well, conveniently enough, our winter book club will be Nixon in China. The title of the book, coincidentally, is the same title as the opera, but it was written well after the opera was composed. It's by Canadian historian Margaret Macmillan, and it's her account of the historic events surrounding Nixon's visit to China. You can buy it at the opera shop, and please take part online. You know, give us your thoughts if you're planning to read along. The best way to keep up to date is to sign up for eOpera. You get all the updates of what's online, what the COC is up to, special offers, special announcements, things like that.
So today we're going to be exploring the story of Nixon in China, the background of its composition, the particular production we're going to be showing at the COC, and of course, the wonderful music. And we're pretty lucky this time. The recording that we'll be listening to today is on the Naxos label. It's a live recording. And in fact, it features most of the cast that will be appearing on COC stage. So today we'll be listening to Robert Orth as Richard Nixon, Maria Kanyova as Pat Nixon, Thomas Hammonds as Henry Kissinger, Mark Heller as Mao Zedong, Tracy Dahl as Madame Mao, and Chen Ye Yuan as Chou En Lai. The conductor is Marin Alsop, who leads the Colorado Symphony Orchestra and the Opera Colorado Chorus.
And this is from 2008.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In fact, they made the recording during performance in Colorado, and it's the same physical production that we'll be getting.
That's
at
right,
COC.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a bit. So the whole idea of composing an opera based on Nixon's visit to China was an idea that was brought forth by the American stage director Peter Sellars, and he brought together composer John Adams and the librettist Alice Goodman. And Peter Sellars also went on to become the director of the first production of this opera, the Houston Grand Opera in 1987. Peter Sellars is a very well-known American stage director, does a lot of opera directing. Some listeners might be familiar, and these are productions I remember well watching on TV probably in the 80s, of the Da Ponte Mozart operas. And he sort of updates Le Nozze di Figaro to the Trump Tower, Giovanni and the Spanish, the Harlem Ghetto, and Così fan tutti, I think, is an American diner.
Really well thought out.
Oh, very well thought out.
Thought-provoking.
Just amazing. So Alice Goodman, who is the librettist, she did a lot of research for her libretto in back issues of news magazines, tapes of the actual television newscasts of the event. And she made very clear what happened on each day of the visit. And she also made a point of ignoring any material that was written about the visit after 1972 when it occurred. She wasn't so much interested on commentary, later commentary on the visit, but trying to stick, I think, as much as possible to the so-called facts.
And give it a very contemporary feel, too.
Right, yeah. Although she did, I think, consult the biographies of Mao, Nixon, and Kissinger. And the story, as we've mentioned, covers 5 days from February 21st to 25th, 1972, during President Richard Nixon's historic visit to Peking, China.
The opera begins on the airfield outside Peking, where contingents of the Chinese Army, Navy, and Air Force have gathered to greet President Nixon and his wife, Pat, as they disembark the plane. While the introductions between the American and the Chinese are beginning, Nixon marvels that the whole world will be listening and watching this historic occasion. But his initial feelings that this will be a triumphant occasion quickly turn to fears that it could be a failure, and he sings, "Let's face it, if we don't succeed on this summit, our name is mud. We're not out of the woods, not yet." We'll hear Robert Orff as Nixon singing, "News Has a Kind of Mystery."
News! 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 Has a kind of mystery. Has a kind of mystery. When I shook hands with Joe and Lai, when I shook hands with Joe and Lai, on this bare field outside Peking, just now the whole world was listening. The whole world was listening, listening, listening. And though we spoke quietly, and though we spoke quietly, and though we spoke quietly, the eyes and ears of history, 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 caught every gesture, caught every gesture, and every word of securing us as we transfixed. The deputy transforming us as we transfixed.
The minister
transforming us as we transfixed. Big history, history, as we made history. The eyes and ears of history, as we made history.
And now let's talk a little bit more about John Adams, the composer. He is most often associated with minimalist movement, which was an American genre of experimental music begun in the 1960s. And minimalist music contains a lot of repetition, a steady pulse, and slow transformations. However, to call John Adams strictly a minimalist probably isn't quite accurate. He's been quoted as saying that he feels that it's very important for audiences to connect to the music on stage and that there be sort of harmonic elements and lyrical, melodic elements that he feels, you know, the greatest composers such as Verdi and Wagner They composed in this way. And although you would never compare his music, I think, to Verdi's, it's just something that he feels is an element you can't leave out. So he, in that way, I think he slightly distances himself from that movement, and also maybe a lot of contemporary music that was being written in the 60s and 70s was very academic and perhaps a bit off-putting to some audiences.
Well, who would be a typical minimalist composer?
Philip Glass is probably a composer that a lot of people would be familiar with.
Right.
He wrote operas such as Einstein on the Beach and Akhenaten. And it's that sort of wah-wah-wah-wah-wah steady pulse that you hear in Philip Glass music.
That's right. It's very driving sort of rhythm.
Something you think of as minimalist, yeah.
Yeah.
So there are elements of this in John Adams' music. But as we'll explore in some of the other excerpts, some quite beautiful melodies as well, somewhat surprising maybe. So out of this original collaboration between Peter Sellers, Alice Goodman, and John Adams in 1985 came two operas, Nixon in China, of course, and another one called The Death of Klinghoffer. And these have gone on to become two of the most performed contemporary operas.
Nixon China premiered 1987, is that right?
Right, okay. Yeah. And just to go a bit further into further along into John Adams' career, some listeners might be familiar with a more recent opera of his called Dr. Atomic, based on the life of Robert Oppenheimer. And this was commissioned by the San Francisco Opera and premiered there in September of 2005. And a couple seasons ago, it was one of the Met HD transmissions with Canadian baritone Gerald Finley as Oppenheimer.
I wish I'd seen that. You did, though.
It was quite moving. It's really some beautiful, beautiful music. Oppenheimer has an aria, which I'm sure will become a 21st century classic, I guess.
Standard rep.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Well, in scene two of Act One, we get down finally to the business of the visit, and the political leaders sit down to talk, surrounded by photographers. Nixon and Mao discuss politics with Kissinger and Chow. They debate their opposing Marxist and capitalist political systems in "You've Said That There's a Certain Well-Known Tree," and we'll listen to that now.
You've said that there's a certain well-known tree that grows from nothing in a day, lives only as a sapling, dies just at his prime. When good men visit as their idol, not to the cross, a liberty tree, let it pass. It was a riddle, not a test. A revolution does not last. It is your regime survives in that and not in time. While it is young in us, it lives. We can save it. It never.
Thousand years, and yours will last a thousand years,
and yours will last
a thousand years.
And yours will last
a thousand years.
Stage director James Robinson returns to the COC, and he's been with us formerly for Norma, Electra, and Turandot, with a production which premiered at Opera Theatre St. Louis in 2004 and has gone on to successful revivals at several other American opera houses. Perhaps the production's most striking feature are the many images which are constantly playing on stage on as many as a dozen television sets spread across the set. Those images, mostly from news videos of the actual meeting in China, enhance the sense of history being made in the moment. Now, many of the cast members that we'll have on the COC stage this winter have appeared in this production before. And as we said earlier, they're heard on the Naxos recording we're sampling today. And there's something very special about a cast that's done the same production together a few times. It's so ingrained in them. They've had so much time to really flesh it out and play with different ideas. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to this. It'll be a real treat.
And I imagine they'd be very comfortable with each other on stage, having done the roles so many times.
We saw that
together.
A bit with our Death in Venice.
Yes.
This fall. You got that sense of they had that production in their blood. American baritone Robert Orth has made something of a specialty of the role of Nixon, and he appears in a lot of new American 20th century opera. He played the role of Nixon at the Vancouver Opera last season. American-based Thomas Hammonds, who is going to be Henry Kissinger, he sang the role in the opera's world premiere, and he's also on the original cast recording on Nonesuch Records. Making a very welcome return to the COC is Canadian coloratura soprano Tracy Dahl, and she was last with the company as a very fun and flirty Zerbinetta in Ariadne of Naxos. She had the most fantastic costume, and she's been Nanetta in Falstaff, among other roles. She's going to be the slightly scary Madame Mao, and she sung this role in several recent productions, including last season in Vancouver. She's now going to sing Madame Mao's big aria from the end of Act Two, I'm the Wife of Mao Zedong.
And this is, as we'll hear, I mean, it really exploits the coloratura, tessitura, the high, high notes, the sort of crazy running scale. So it's almost like a, I don't know, Lucia Mad scene for the 21st century.
Wonderful.
Yes.